Okay, well, it's my great pleasure to once again welcome into the studio Amy Pettit for another edition of Ag Matters. Welcome, Amy.
Good morning, Mike.
Well, you look good today. You've got a green hat on with a big G. What does that stand for?
Well, I have to tell you, I grabbed my red jacket this morning, and then I remembered that you noticed last time when I mixed up my colors. So if you know me, you know I'm a big Packers fan, and it's playoff football season. So
I thought this had something to do with grow or,
No, I've got to stand firm here. It's all about the Packers this week.
And for those who are not able who are listening and are not able to see as I can, she is also wearing a green vest with another big G on it.
Yep.
How about that?
Yep.
But this morning you've also brought into the studio with
you. I have a guest.
Tell us about her.
Welcome, Megan Talley from Spring Creek Farm.
Thanks, Amy and Mike.
Hi. Okay. So where are you going with all this morning?
Yeah, well, Megan wears a lot of different hats in the community, and I have worked with Megan a lot over the last couple of years on a number of different projects, and I wanted to invite her in this morning to talk about a number of those different things.
Okay.
I want to start with who you are, Megan, how you got to Alaska, and what you're doing at Spring Creek Farm.
Great. Thanks for having me. I got to Alaska via New York. Moved up here in 2014 with my husband, who came to take the job at Spring Creek Farm and go to grad school. I just tagged along because it seemed like a good idea, and I hung around long enough, and they gave me a job.
I didn't realize that. I thought you got the job first before Joshua. Interesting. Mm-hmm. You learn something new every time.
There you go.
Yep. And before that, we'd been farming on his family's land. Before that, I was on a farm in Newton, Massachusetts. Before that, traveling around Argentina, learning Argentine farming techniques, and before that, New York City.
Okay. And your roots are in Oklahoma originally, right?
Correct, yeah. Oklahoma.
And farm country there?
Yeah, kind of. College town, but an agricultural college town. So all my people farmed before my parents. So have a long line of it.
Good. Very good. So Joshua came for the farm manager job at Spring Creek. So talk to us about that. A lot of people don't know about the Spring Creek Farm. So tell us more.
Yeah. So Spring Creek Farm, do you want some history?
I do. I love the history of Spring Creek Farm. So let's start with that.
Spring Creek Farm has a really awesome history that I'm really excited to be a part of. So in 1947, Louise Kellogg came up to Alaska and purchased her first piece of property. And over the next 40 years, she picked up other chunks of property, eventually totaling around 900 acres, all contiguous farmland off Farm Loop Road.
Right.
She ran a successful dairy up until the 80s. In talking to the community, it sounds like she had people over for Christmas, every kind of holiday you could imagine, just for whatever, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. Sounds like she was quite a community character as well.
Yeah, she liked to share the space, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she continued her legacy by putting that farmland into a family land trust, the DeWolf-Kellogg Trust, which holds the property altogether, and deeded it to Alaska Pacific University to be used for outdoor education and enjoyment of the outdoors.
Right.
So Alaska Pacific University, I'm staff on Alaska Pacific University. They manage the property through different educational programs. When Joshua and I came on, we came on to help expand the production farm piece of the puzzle there. We went from about a one-acre production plot, learning plot, to now we have a six-acre footprint that we're working to teach young growers how to grow on that scale of farming.
Yeah, okay. Very cool. And so there's so much more about Louise's history, right, and her story and her impact on Palmer agriculture. Mike, do you know more about her?
I was privileged to be around when Louise Kellogg was alive.
And
she had a definite reputation. And the people that I knew that were farmers respected her. She was not only, I think you've captured a part of it to say that she was a spirited person.
Yeah.
And she did good work. And yet people were attracted to her place and to her. because of her genuine enthusiasm, I suppose you'd have to put it. So it follows, and I'm not surprised, having followed the history of the farm, that it became something that wasn't just broken up.
Right. Yep.
It moved specifically into a continuing, if you will, greater purpose, but still based on the farm itself.
Yeah.
And it sounds as if APU has continued to honor that, both tradition and her vision.
Yeah. Are there any books that have been written about her? I'm fascinated with her and want to know more. Where could I go to find more? Do you know?
Not that I'm aware of. There's some information online, both on the APU website for the Kellogg campus, and she was inducted into the Alaska Women's Hall of Fame. So there's some good information there.
Okay.
It'd be a great grad student research project.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right. Right,
not for me, but.
Spring Creek Farm, right?
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk, let's get into the nuts and bolts a little bit about what you just mentioned, 6 acres of production agriculture, teaching young people about how to grow food. So let's talk about that. What does that look like? So right now it's January 11th, right? And there's nobody on the farm. So what's happening? What's the plan? How will things come together through the spring and into summer?
Yeah, well, in the past 3 seasons, we've hosted a summer-long internship program for mostly ends up being college-age students who apply like you would apply for an internship or a job for college credit. They spend 32 hours a week working hands-on, you know, basically just what the nuts and bolts of running a farm, what a vegetable farm look like.
Okay.
32 hours a week is probably a...
Minimum.
Yeah. But we also recognize that they don't get paid much and want to give them time to also study the things that we're talking about. So we're looking at revamping and revising that over the next few years based on the feedback we've gotten from our past interns who want a little more book learning, a little less hands-on. We're finding that students are a little more interested in food systems. Oh. They want to learn the basics of growing food but aren't necessarily looking at a farm career just yet. So we're trying to work on some more introductory programs for that. But in this next season, we're bringing on a new past intern for a real, real deep lesson on becoming a manager of a farm.
Oh, cool.
We work with AmeriCorps Vista students too.
Right.
So we bring them in and they do some interesting things in that they have a poverty prevention outlook to their programming. So one of our big focuses at Spring Creek Farm, too, is food access, making sure people have access to food regardless of their income level. And so our VISTAs help us do some of that outreach components of things. So we have, I guess I can go into TILF now.
Sure.
A natural.
Yep.
So Alaska TILF was a project that we started in collaboration with UAF Experiment Farm. Here in Palmer, Plant Material Center was part of the original concept, and the family nutrition educator through the Cooperative Extension Service. So basically, our goals were to pool resources both for grower education and for hunger relief and food access. So Alaska TILF was a little project born of the desire to accomplish both of those things.
Right.
And what we do is we teach people how to grow on our farm, and then we donate some of our produce that we grow to the family nutrition educator who takes it to food pantries, women's shelter. We did a lot of work with My House this summer and teaching people how to use kohlrabi and rutabaga and things that you wouldn't know what to do with.
Yeah, and that's a real need. We found that when we were at the Division of Agriculture that a lot of people don't know how to cook anymore, and they especially don't know how to cook with the specialty crops that are available at the farmers market that they might not so regularly see at the grocery store or on cooking shows on TV or whatever. And so it's Winona, right? Mm-hmm. She's the
Winona Benson.
Yeah, and she's so good at what she does, and she so that component is really important, though, showing people how to use this fresh local food in nutritious and healthy ways. So that was a super cool project that you guys did.
Yeah. And we're planning to continue that on. We've developed some partnerships with NeighborWorks to help us create a program modeled after Seattle Tilt's garden program. So we'll be building some garden beds that will turn into sort of a garden mentorship year-to-year program.
Okay.
So we're working on the details of that for this summer. But our overall goals are to just create agricultural literacy throughout the community, too.
Right.
Recognizing that not everybody is going to go straight into a farming career. And those that want to, we want to provide the tools that they need to be able to run a successful farm. But for people who are just interested in getting closer to their food source, understanding how to cook local food, how to grow some of their own, we also want to cater to those folks, too.
Yeah. And it's such an important part of the circle. Again, when I worked in marketing at the Division of Agriculture, it never ceased to amaze me how many people did not cook or did not know that food was grown in Alaska. Mm-hmm. So the more touches we have with more people recognizing that we do have farms in this state and recognizing the importance and value of that is just, it's incredible. So before we get too far away from it, a question popped into my mind. For your internship on Spring Creek Farm, how do people find out more information on that? If we have someone listening that says, oh my gosh, I want to be an intern at Spring Creek Farm, where would they find more info?
We'll have more information on the website, the APU's website. If you go to APU, alaskapacific.edu,
I think. Yeah.
And look for Kellogg Campus or the Spring Creek Farm. You can type in a search.
Yeah.
You can also find me on Facebook. I'm the one that manages that. So if you find Spring Creek Farm Alaska on Facebook, I respond there.
Okay.
I have, email, phone.
Yeah.
Usually getting in touch with me is the best way to really find out.
Okay. So you're not
details.
Filled up yet for 2017?
No,
okay.
Up yet.
Good. Another thought that came to mind is, are your interns, and I kind of know the answer to this, but I want to ask it anyways, are your interns always from APU as APU college students, or can they be from outside of the Alaska system?
Nope. They can be anywhere.
Okay.
We've had some from UAF come down. We've had students from Virginia, from Wisconsin. So we get folks from all over the place.
Good.
So, because we're an accredited program, students can get internship credit with us fairly easily. We're also part of the Eco League. APU is part of the Eco League. So there's five other schools that are all connected to us. So it's easy for them to come through. And
I've never heard of Eco League. Oh, cool. And that leads to one final question about that kind of stuff. With APU, do they have an agricultural-focused program? I mean, apart from coming and, being part of Spring Creek, can you get an ag degree from APU?
Currently, no.
Okay.
It's something we're working on.
Good.
Because there is not one
in the state of Alaska.
And so we would like to make sure that there is that option, even if it's putting together components of other programs that UAF has or anything. Just that there is some sort of program that keeps young agricultural-minded people
here
in the state of Alaska, because we have really specific growing issues, techniques.
Absolutely.
That are specific to this part of the world.
And, and I think that's an issue. That's something that I've seen in the 10, 11 years that I've been here and worked with FFA students and college-bound students. They all go outside for university, and then they meet people or find good jobs and don't end up coming back. And so it would be so great to see an ag program developed at one of these colleges.
Yeah. And
so I just had a question, and perhaps listeners might be interested in knowing exactly where Spring Creek Farm is located. How to get there.
Oh, sure. Can I add one thing before I forget?
Yeah, too, please.
But just about degrees. APU does have a Bachelor's of Sustainability, which is sort of a pick and choose your own pathway. So we do have a sustainability student who's sort of leading the way and building curriculum around a food systems focus through sustainability. And then we've also got some, I'm currently in a master's program that is an independent study. So there are opportunities. And then environmental sciences, we've got a student doing garlic research. So,
right.
So there's not
fascinating
one specific,
garlic research.
Yeah, it's really good. We've got her third year planted already.
Awesome.
So there's not a really specific agricultural degree, which we would like to see happen, but there are ways if someone's interested in putting together their own kind of agricultural program that there's options for that.
APU is amenable and flexible and wants to work with.
Exactly. Good. Yeah. Back to the question of where Spring Creek Farm is. It is on Farm Loop Road, just off of the Glen side.
Okay.
First right as you turn left onto Farm Loop from the Glen, and you're the first right, which is Lossing, and it's down at the end. You just go until the road ends. It's about a half mile.
Mm-hmm. How large?
The total property is about 900 acres.
Okay.
Yep.
That includes about 200 acres of hay fields, which are hayed by a gentleman who's been there since the 80s.
Okay.
And then 700 of those acres are in woodlands, forested, wetlands.
Yep.
Just open
space. And in the past, were there a wide variety of trees also in addition to the farmland? Was there anything?
Like orchard?
Yeah.
Or?
I'm not sure. We've got about six apple trees, but it doesn't look like they were really in an orchard fashion. They look like they're more just around houses, but I'm not sure that could be.
Okay.
Yep.
And when I think about the place, I think about it, of course, we're presently enjoying low temperatures. It's winter, cold. Mm-hmm. Probably not, as you're pointed out, not many people out in the fields doing much right now. If a person were there in the springtime and then in the summer and fall, how does the activity change there? When does it begin in the spring?
Oh, gosh. Well, we start in the greenhouses in February.
Soon, right?
Yeah,
very soon.
Okay, all right.
Very soon. Traditionally, the frost date of when it's safe to start planting in the ground has been June 1st, but the last 3 years I've planted by May 20th. So, it's getting earlier and earlier. June is a safe bet to say there'll be people out in the field. I probably shouldn't say this out loud as a farmer. We work 9 to 5. Well, officially work 9 to 5. We probably work a lot more hours than that. But those are typically the hours that we're out with students or interns. Or we also do work shares. We do volunteer trades. So usually Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, there's somebody out in the vegetable field.
Okay, can people just come out and visit?
Sure. Yeah, there's trails to walk. And one of the projects we're working on now is getting better signage so that people know
where they can and can't be.
Yeah.
It is a little confusing the first time you go out there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different buildings and a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of like, where am I supposed to be, Megan?
There's some private residences and some public. So that's one of our projects that we're working on getting done before the spring or before summer ends. Is some signage so that people know where to come and how to get there.
Let's talk about, because look at the clock. It goes so fast. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about your internship program, and we've talked about TILTH, which is incredible. And before we go completely off TILTH, that is a community-supported project, right? If folks want to, if they love this idea of using local food to teach, folks at the women's shelter or my house how to cook, it does need some financial support, right?
So, true.
So if a person wants to learn more about TILTH or wants to make a financial contribution, how could they do that?
I'm always happy to answer questions. So contacting me through Facebook or through, you can find me through the APU website pretty easily.
Yep.
I'm always happy to answer other questions. And then we also, APU now has a donate button through the website. So if you go onto the Kellogg campus, look for Alaska TILTH. It's a brand new website.
Yay.
It's pretty exciting.
Cool.
So there is an easy way to just donate
Very good.
online.
Very good. Good to know.
Yeah.
And the other program that I want to be sure that we talk about is one that we've worked on a little bit together, and that's craft. Mm-hmm. So in the world of agriculture, I know it's like this and everything, but it seems like in agriculture, it should be the world of acronyms, because we have an acronym for everything. So we talked about TILTH. Now, craft is actually an acronym,
that
right?
Is,
and
yeah.
It stands for Collaborative Regional
Alliance for Farmer Training.
Okay.
You got it. You got it.
Collaborative Regional
Alliance for Farmer Training.
Yeah.
And this is not my idea in any way. I got it from farming on the East Coast. There's craft, I believe, was born in the Chicago area. I might be wrong. But in regions where there's lots of interns on farms learning, you know, in their first, second, third years, trying to learn how to farm, the farms that often host interns got together and decided that there needed to be some information exchange and some community building. And so that the right. idea of craft was born to do just that, to share information between young farmers, new farmers. They're not always young. And to spread the information of the older farmers or farmers who have been doing it longer. Seasoned farmers. Sharing that information on a broader scale rather than just one or two interns, then there's a whole group of it. So I've been in craft sessions where there's 50 young farmers
awesome.
Learning how to fix their rototillers or how to write a business plan. So it ranges from anything, anything that, you know, farmers have to wear so many hats.
Right. Jack of all trades.
Yeah, you really have to. And it's hard to navigate that a lot. And from all of those conversations where you actually, usually the way it works is you get together with a group of people, go on a farm tour, visit somebody's farm, see the system, see it in action. We try to go places where people have a really novel system of something that
sure.
is interesting or applicable on a larger scale. And then from that, community is built too. So
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
One
yeah.
of the other things about getting into farming is it's kind of a lonely job. It's really stressful. You're don't have a real strong support network. So we've found success where community of farmers supports each other.
Absolutely. So in craft in Alaska or South Central Alaska, I should say, because it's not like we travel all over. But I've been involved in craft meetings where we've gone to Vanderweil Farm. And we've looked at their greenhouse and their planting system. I've been there when we went to the muskox farm,
mm-hmm.
and we toured, walked amongst the ox, and then talked about his system. I know you guys went to Delbert and Jackie Simoneau's mm-hmm. Northern Lights Elk Ranch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the ones that I've been involved with. What else has Kraft done?
Let's see. We went to Black Dog Farm last summer, which is a quarter acre, super intensive, awesome farm run by some young, awesome people just off Buffalo Mine.
Growing vegetables.
Mm-hmm, doing yep. vegetables. There's been some, you know, Chugach Farm and
oh, yeah.
the Knowles Farm have this sort of already had stuff going on where they go and do some intern exchanges. So they've spent a lot of time going back and forth, which while it wasn't an official craft thing, it's the same idea.
Sure.
Of
it's,
that
it's sharing
exchange.
Information. Yeah.
We sent folks to Sun Circle this summer. I'm trying to think where else we went. The elk farm was pretty exciting.
I
hadn't seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I missed
some
that one.
Tax classes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Thrilling.
But it's another part of the system, right? People have to learn the farm taxes and business taxes are different than your personal income taxes. And
mm-hmm.
there's not just a place you can go to find that information here in Alaska. So
mm-hmm.
Megan hosted some classes. We had a local farmer who's also an accountant that
mm-hmm.
taught them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about time to get the gang back together to decide what we want to do for the next year.
Yeah, so. Very good. And it's when with the ones that I've participated in, we typically do it potluck style. Everybody brings a little bit of food to share, and there's a lot of camaraderie and just that community building side of it is really important. And I think that's where the real lessons are learned, because then when you're back on the farm and something breaks or you're having a panic attack or whatever the situation is, you have this new network of people that you can call because you know that Megan or Mark or someone else has experienced it and is more than happy to kind of walk you through how to get yourself out of the mess you've created.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I still occasionally call one of my farm mentors from 7 years ago.
Yeah.
With
questions.
And he's in Massachusetts, but
yeah,
you know.
He still answers.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay, so that's craft. So I think we're about to run out of time, but if people want to learn more about craft, where should we send them?
Right now we just have a Facebook page.
Okay.
Still getting it up and running, but that's, again, you can contact me through there.
Okay.
It's South Central Alaska and then CRAFT.
Okay, perfect. We'll share some of those on our Alaska Farmland Trust Facebook page too with some links so people can find them easier. Megan, this half an hour just buzzed by, but thank you so much for being in here with me talking
about
all the incredible things going at Spring Creek Farm. Like, I think obviously a common theme is farmer training and getting more young people involved, et cetera. And that's a real need in this community. So we are so glad you're here and doing what you're doing.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, Amy Pettit, for another great edition of Ag Matters with your guest, Megan.
Yep. Very good.
All right. And next week, you'll be back. Do you have any thoughts about what will happen next week?
Next week is the 18th, and I have two guests that I'm jostling, trying to figure out which one of them needs to be on the 18th. So I can't tell you yet who it's going to be.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. We'll be surprised.